And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. 77 degrees out there, and it is a little bit on the windy side. We have winds out of the southeast that are gusting up to 30, so hang on to your hat kind of afternoon. A little humid, too. Our dew point's back up into the 60s, and there are some thunderstorms on radar. In fact, flash flood warnings going on right now just south of Devil's Lake. Those storms moving slowly and due eastward. Areas of the Northern Valley along and north of Highway 2 going to see some heavy rain this afternoon, but it is going to stay mainly north of us. Now, as we get into tonight, we will see some of those storms start to sag a little bit southeast and could clip the FM area here as we head towards sunrise. And then we're looking at a decent day tomorrow afternoon with highs back up into the low 80s. And if you're liking this, I'll call this summer warm. This is a good 10 degrees plus above normal. Yeah. We're looking at temperatures in the 80s on Saturday, mid-80s, and then a better chance for storms comes in to the valley Sunday night and Monday. And again, like we've been saying, according to the LRC, this following from Sunday through most of next week, we're in that active part of the LRC cycle where most of the state is going to be blanketed with about 1 to 2 inches of rain. This is widespread. North Dakota, most of Minnesota, even into South Dakota. So this is a Northern Plains event that's going to be giving much of the Northern Plains about 1 to 2 inches by the end of next week. And this weather is brought to you by Progressive Ag Risk Management Specialists. So as we've been saying, Bridget, we've been in a kind of a dry pattern over the last week, and now next week, starting a little bit today in the Northern Valley, but more so Sunday onward,
sure,
we're going to start getting more moisture around here.
Actually, I had a report from some crop consultants up in that Devil's Lake Basin. There was about 2.5 inches of rain in Candu this morning. So that was flooding and
yeah,
so forth. So, in fact, I did laugh when one of the guys said, I'm not going to be soil sampling for a couple of days. Yes, that would be true. We're getting a lot of rainfall at this point.
Right.
So we're going to keep an eye on all of that for folks as well, see where it moves to. Like you said, we're probably not going to see it right here in the Cass County region, but we certainly will to the north of us.
Right.
If you are out here at Big Iron, and we'd love to have you stop by. We still have some caps for you. And of those caps, they've been brought to us by our sponsors who've been so helpful all week long. Red Wing Shoes, PetroServe USA, and Morton Buildings. Morton Buildings is kind enough to let us come in. They let us open the door because it gets a little stuffy and we need a breeze blowing through. Dean and I are sort of high maintenance that way. So, all right, but this is not your first trade show here at Big Iron. Tell me about that.
Good afternoon. No, it isn't. I started doing trade shows in 1985. It was with another company, and I've been with Morton since 2001.
Okay.
And what's that, 24, 25-ish
yes,
years now? And yes, unfortunately, the 2001, we all know what happened there.
Right.
24 years ago, and that was my first trade show, Big Iron, with yeah, Morton Buildings. And we were actually right next door, and I said that earlier today. I remember the exact moment when that happened.
I
think everybody
too
does.
Oh,
yeah. I was in Nebraska, and I was just getting up to go to the gym, and I turned the TV on in my bedroom, and I said, nah, this can't be right. And just, yeah, I think everybody always remembers where they're going to be on that day.
I was living in Hillsboro and was on my way down here for Big Iron, and that was the day everybody had TVs in their booths. We were finding all these little tiny dorm-sized TVs with the coat hanger antenna on them so everybody could be paying attention to what was happening.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I got the phone call from my wife, and she goes, my goodness, have you heard the news? And I didn't, and I turned at that exact moment.
Yep.
And everybody, like, found out the exact same time, and it was
so
terrible.
With 24 years in with Morton Building, what's changed? What are you doing differently now? Because I'm going to guess you were still doing a lot of machine sheds at that point.
Yeah, Morton's been around forever, right? 1903 is when our company started. Back
yep,
then, we weren't doing buildings, but we slowly got into buildings, and about the mid-40s when we started doing buildings. At that time, it was 100% farm.
Right.
It was a square box, sliding door, window, walk door, stuff like that. As time went on, we added quite a bit of different product lines. We have 5 different product lines. Commercial is probably our biggest dollar one. Farm is probably our biggest number of buildings. But there's equestrian, suburban, and then probably the biggest lead count that we get is Shelses, also known as barn dominiums or bundles,
yes,
depending what part of the country you're at, it
yep,
is called. And that was probably majority of our leads are in people that contact us is looking for something like that.
Morton is the name that people recognize for so many decades, just like you said, starting in 1903. And when you look back, do you feel like most of your customers are historical because Grandpa had a Morton building, Dad had a Morton building on the farm, those types of things, and they want to come back to you?
Exactly. The gentleman just left the booth here. That he had three of his own. And the reason he has those three is because his dad had two before that. And he loved it. He loves the quality. He loves the service. He loves everything on it. So that's a great feeling when they keep coming back. And we're a little bit older company, so we have a lot of crew people and salespeople been with us for 50 years. And it's fun.
That says a lot right there.
And it's fun having when you have a building sold and it's an existing customer, and maybe it's a son or somebody or grandson or somebody, and we still have that form or some of those crew people there, and they go back to it, and they know exactly where it's at. They remember the colors. They remember the location. They come back, and they're like, I remember you when you were 3 years old.
Yeah.
Now you're 33 years old.
No, you can pay for this.
You can pay for the next one, exactly.
So a lot of people will ask, well, you know, if they're new customers, how do you tell them, or what do you say to them if they say, well, what makes your building stand out among the competition?
Sure. It's 2000. I always say it's 2025. Everybody makes great stuff. Great buildings, the whole works on it. One thing I love about Morton is, for example, just the steel alone. That is something we've had since the mid-40s. We haven't had to change that at all. The thickness, the rib configuration, everything, what they designed back in the 40s was fabulous, and they're still using that today.
Mm-hmm.
And that is great. But over time, we've taken other areas, like for example, the paint. Mm-hmm. The paint that we had back in the 40s has been updated. We do a lot of research, a lot of R&D to find out, you know, what's the best paint to use right now for our type of buildings, our steel like that, and we've upgraded that, and we've gone to that. The fasteners, for example, we started with nails. Nothing wrong with nails, but we found out screws works a little bit better, and the crew people that are putting it in, it's a lot easier for them. Instead of swinging that hammer hundreds and hundreds of time, they can use the screws on that. So little upgrades like that over time has really made a difference.
You know, with all the wind that we have had this summer especially, personally, I'm having a terrible hair day, but we've had them all
summer.
That's
what hats are for.
Yeah, right. And when you think about the roofing structures that you guys are doing, I've heard people talk about putting something on there that's like a hurricane fastener, et cetera. Are you, one, doing more of that? Two, do they really work? Tell me some of that background.
Yeah, so our structure is pretty much the same everywhere. But with my position, I do every other week I travel somewhere different in the U.S. I help all the sales consultants and the different managers, help train them on all the different product lines. For example, when you go down to Florida, there's lots of hurricanes.
Sure.
And that's where you use those hurricane clips. Where up here, we might use snow bars or something else. So it is windy up here.
Uh-huh.
But the wind down there is
way different.
Amazingly different.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer, of course, at all the damage and stuff like that happened. But it is. There's a lot of Mortons up there that are making it through all those conditions down there. And there's... It feels good that they can use those buildings to help out other farmers, other people that had damage on their property, and that Morton is still standing down there. And they're able to use that as some type of center.
Actually, one of the things that you guys mentioned yesterday was the fact that you have some guarantees. So perhaps we've got folks that had damage this summer, and they don't realize that there's still a guarantee or a warranty on some of their buildings.
Yeah, snow load warranty, the wind warranty that you had, and unfortunately things like that happen. But it's nice that we back it up with that. For example, when they had those big storms in Iowa a couple years ago.
Oh, the derechos.
Mm-hmm. We had a lot of our buildings, a lot of other buildings that you know, we do have a great warranty on that, and we take care of it, material and labor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing is, you know, you can do material all day long, but the material and labor... And we're very proud of how fast we take care of those also. We've had projects that had a situation like that, and within 7 days we have a new building up for that.
Wow.
It's nice having our own crews and having so many of them. And, for example, if we're maybe not as busy in Texas or somewhere else, we're bringing those crews up and making sure we take care of those customers. Now, we also have a complete repair department that we started many years ago also that is helping out on our buildings as well as some other buildings also. So we are helping out other non-Morton customers, let's say, on their projects also, if they have a situation like that.
Well, folks know that they can call us here at the JLA insurance phone line of 701-293-9000. But if they're going to call Morton Buildings, or if they're going to find Morton Buildings, where will they do that?
Probably the best is going to MortonBillings.com.
Uh-huh.
We have 125 locations on it. Valley City office is here. Grafton is here. Bismarck's here. Moriah here. I can name off a lot of those. But MortonBillings.com is where they connect on everything.
Sure.
They can see all our product lines. We have a lot of floor plans on these shelves that we're doing now and stuff like that. And it has every location we have on there. So they can find out who'd be probably the closest, best office to work with.
Well, I just simply want to have a barn dominium so I can use that as my mailing address.
There you
I want people to have to spell barn dominium every time they send me something.
I live in a Morton home and I agree with you.
Thank you so much for all of the background and help today. Much appreciated. And for hosting us.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. So to those who have been walking around the show here at Big Iron and you're curious, who were some of the Farm Show Exhibit Award winners? Overall Best of Show went to Unifirth. Best Outdoor Display first place was Red E, and the runner-up was Michael Max. Best Large Indoor first place was Infinity Ag, and their runner-up was Ag Week. Best Small Indoor Display went to Jay Aspey, and Best Small Indoor Runner-up, North Dakota FFA Foundation. Field Demos went to General Electric, and Rookie of the Year was Kloss with their new Greenpoint sites and discussion on their equipment. Stay tuned. You can again call us on the JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. We will be joined next by, this is where Bridget asked to read her notes, we are going to be joined by Lisa Hauf, and she is with Cass County Farm Bureau. We're going to talk about health coverage when we return. Welcome back into radio here at the Morton Building Center on the Red River Valley Fairgrounds. We are here today for Big Iron, last day. If you haven't made it yet, you better hustle. It's a little windy. Things are getting dusty, and if you need to get them washed up, take them to that Coral Laundry Studio. It's just over there on Veterans Boulevard. They'd be happy to help you out and get tidied right on up. Well, lots going on today, and one of the things that happens out here at the fair regularly is the participation of folks like the Cass County Farm Bureau. And Cass County Farm Bureau has, in fact, a foundation. And in the past 5 years, they've helped to sponsor ongoing activities, efforts in ag, ed, and agriculture all across the state. And they were also part of the Out of the Ashes Wildfire Relief, which is monetary relief for the western North Dakota summer wildfires in 2024. But today, Lisa Hauf is going to join us to talk about something very specific with Cass County Farm Bureau that I don't know what it is, actually. And I know that sounds kind of silly, but Lisa, I'm going to need your help. Farm Bureau health coverage. Tell me more.
Hi, Bridget. Nice to visit with you. Yeah, I'm glad to hop on here. I know Megan Hansen. She's our director of member relations and is kind of the administrator, program administrator on the health plan side. Was supposed to be on today, but she's not feeling well. So I said, I'll hop in and do the best I can, and talk about our health plans and our health care coverage that we offer, to individuals and families in North Dakota.
That sounds awesome because, well, first of all, maybe you want to talk to Megan about that if she's not feeling well today. But secondly, okay, this is not the same as if a farm family was wanting to talk about insurance with Blue Cross, Blue Shield, et cetera, right? This is very different.
Yes. You know, we've rolled out our health care plans in the fall of 2024. And they became live or coverage began January 1st of 2025. So we're in our first year of offering these. And we're partnering with Farm Bureau Health Plans of Tennessee, and they're acting as the co-insurer and provide administrative service. But they've been providing health plans since 1947. So though it's new to North Dakota, It's not a new service. It's been around for a long, long time. And the health coverage, it's for individuals and families throughout North Dakota. And you can apply for coverage at any time throughout the year. Coverage, it's also offered for anyone under the age of 65. And we have multiple levels of coverage. We also offer like a dental and vision coverage as well. We have HSA eligible options. So a lot of different things out there to try and save people money. And in many cases, members have seen that 30 to 50% savings on premiums with it compared to other options out there.
So a couple of questions for you, Lisa. Anyone can apply with you. It doesn't just need to be someone who's a farm family?
Correct. Yep. Anyone can go on and apply. To get the coverage, you do have to be a NDFB member, which is a $50 a year annual membership fee. But anyone can go. You don't have to be a farmer or rancher. You could be a small business owner, self-employed. You can go online. You fill out an application, and it gets reviewed, and you can see from there, kind of go from there to see if you qualify for it or not.
Okay, that makes good sense. And you also, I want to clarify that people can be, you know, whether individuals or families can apply for that too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Individuals or families. Yep.
And Lisa, you said you have to be an NDFB member. What are some of the benefits? It's only $50 a year. What are some of the benefits of becoming a member?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this obviously the health plans is a great one. And with the membership, we're always looking ways to help save people money. I'll be honest, I use the Choice Hotel member benefit all the time. We're traveling a lot as a family. We have kids in hockey. And so with Choice Hotels, we have a really good discount that I always get my money.
Nice.
I always save more than that $50 with them. But we have so many different ones to choose from. I know we have, from John Deere to Ford to Case to Avis. We also have a Members Advantage one that I recently took advantage of this summer. We went to a trip to Wisconsin Dells, and there is even savings on amusement park tickets and traveling through this member advantage, member benefit we have. So there's just so many different ones to choose from that you get with that $50 membership.
I appreciate the point about amusement parks, but frankly, I live in a circus type of world myself, so I don't think I need the discount, Lisa, but thanks. My life is enough circus.
Right? Yeah. I don't know why we choose to do that at times when it feels life is a circus and, hey, let's go on some rides and make life a little more crazy. But for those that do enjoy it, there are some discounts with it. So.
Now, Lisa, two last questions. One is, must folks live in North Dakota in order to be members of North Dakota Farm Bureau and Cass County Farm Bureau? That's the first question. And then secondly, how will folks reach out and find you after our interview today?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. So you do have to live in the state of North Dakota to be able to apply for this health coverage. And if people would like more information, they can go to ndfbhealthplans.com, or they can visit with their local NODAC agent, and they'd be more than happy to help point them in the right direction and show them what different plans are out there.
Would love to have people do that. And Lisa, we want to say thank you because you are now, as North Dakota Cass County, the sponsor for our assistant ag director here at WDAY. You make sure that we get students coming in every month from now through the end of the year to participate on air with us, do interviews, share a day with Dean and I. And thank you again to you for being one of our sponsors for that. We appreciate it.
Yes, thanks. I'm excited. I heard about that, and I can't wait to hear some of those collegiate students on air. It's going to be great.
They will be fabulous, I can guarantee. All right, when we return, we are going to talk with our sponsor, which is going to be Prairie St. John. We're going to be talking about September's Suicide Prevention Month, particularly focusing on farmers and ranchers. So catch the news, and we'll be back. And today we are happily located in the Morton Building out here for Big Iron. Today is the day to join us, particularly because it is a Thursday in September. And on Thursdays in September, we are helping to focus on Suicide Prevention Month, particularly what's happening in agriculture for our farmers and our ranchers and all of those who are a part of the inputs. I often mention bankers, grain merchandisers, equipment salesmen, and more. And it may not just be the farmer, but their spouse, their children. Everybody's caring a little bit more. We have a great set of sponsors with us, Prairie St. John, Maple River Grain and Agronomy, McGowan Company, as well as Valley Christian Counseling. And we're joined today by Ty Hegland. He is the CEO of Prairie St. John. Ty, how are you?
I'm doing great. What a great opportunity to be here. It's a great, beautiful day out here at Big Iron.
So when we read a little bit about Valley Christian Counseling, whole person approach, body, mind, and spirit. You have services like occupational therapy, physical therapy. We want to talk about mental health today. And in that regard, what are you seeing right now? Have you noticed any sort of an uptick from folks that are farm-related coming in and asking questions?
Well, I mean, the last 10 years has just been an incredible shift in yep. behavioral health in this region. And, you know, one part is, you know, individuals being more aware, us being more open and willing to discuss it, but also just great tracking tools that provide us with accurate data that we've never had in American history. And the reality is we've seen incredible increases in not only substance use, which has been mm-hmm. a huge topic of conversation, but also in suicide and mental health diagnosis. And I think in the last 10 years, suicide rates, or we call it, you know, suicide ideation, but suicide rates have increased almost 30%.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's one part geographic isolation, tough winters, but also just realities of modern times of more stimuli, more stress. It just seems like people can't get a break nowadays, and so we see it time and time again.
Are you seeing this tie in the older generation, younger generation, or this is across the board?
Across the board. You know, it's interesting. I know I think most people would think that it would really kind of foment in, you know, 18 to, you know, 35-year-olds.
Well, yeah, because of social media.
Social media and just phone stimulation, you know, inability to, I would say, you know, digress. But the reality here is that we've seen an incredible increase in 65 plus as far as years of age. And so it's been across the board. And, you know, I think we sit here in the upper Midwest where we have, you know, not only all the same issues as most Americans have, but we have incredible rural areas that, which are beautiful and we love them, but they become incredibly isolating.
Yeah.
And we also, that results in a lack of services for a lot of people as well.
One of the stats I saw is that North Dakota ranks about 14th in suicide rate across the country, and the majority of that is made up by our ag production folks. They have a hard, and I say they, we, because I'm in that industry too, have a really hard time coming forward and asking for help.
Yeah.
Where, in your position, when that person comes in the door, what's the first thing that you are able to talk to them about?
Well, I think it starts well upstream of that issue. And, you know, I'm from a ranch and probably I'm from a ranch in the smallest county in all of North Dakota.
Yep.
In a town that used to be 300 people that is now 200 people. And so I can understand exactly what the individuals in this space go through. And I think it starts primarily way upstream of them coming to us getting services. And it starts with us being a little bit more open, a little bit more honest, a little bit more aggressive as far as reaching out and engaging with people that we know struggle. I mean, I probably give hundreds of speeches a year about mental health, suicide. And let's be honest about, we all know people who struggle. Mm-hmm. And we, particularly us upper Midwesterners who are stoic and a little bit shy and definitely introverted, we have a real problem with reaching out and being honest with people. And so I think that's where it starts.
Yep.
Well, when it ends up with us, I mean, we're to a place where the individual is clearly in need of help and it's time for intervention. And for us, I mean, what we try to do is assess the whole individual. So whether it's their mental health issues or their social structures, or maybe it's literally just some physical health ailment, we try to address it all. And what we would love to see, I mean, more in this region is individuals, particularly in communities,
yep.
where they know these people, having the willingness and the courage, probably more than anything, to engage with people and being honest with them. Because, I mean, I've come from a small town, and I could probably off the top of my head name 3 to 5 people that probably need that conversation today and just having the willingness to do it.
You know, yesterday I had a farm family here from Minnewaukan, right up in your neighborhood.
I know them.
Hey, I could even say Minnewaukan. And, you know, one of the things that they said was one of the sons, when I decided I needed to talk to somebody, my greatest fear was being told, well, but I don't have room for you for like 3 weeks. Is there a way to, how are we doing with that as an industry? I mean, are we better being able to find healthcare individuals? Are we doing better things telemed-wise, et cetera? How are we assessing those folks and giving them better
benefit? Yeah, I think the beginning of that conversation starts with how far were we behind?
Okay.
What was our lack of resources? And so are we doing better? The answer is absolutely yes. There's more bed capacity. There's more therapists being developed. There's more social workers being developed. But we are coming from so far behind that it's going to take probably a decade to catch up. Now we have great resources. Yep. I mean, we have telehealth that helps bridge that gap.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest with you, to wait to get into a CS psychiatrist at times can be incredibly hard.
Yeah.
So what we suggest to people is, you know, the first door that you should try to access is your local healthcare provider.
Okay.
One of the stats that I really try to make sure that people take away from this conversation, behavioral health, is that 50% of people who commit suicide have seen their healthcare provider or a provider within the last 30 days. So they're having engagement with these folks on a pretty regular basis.
Yes.
And are we upstream of acute psych having those conversations? Are we saying, hey, your sleep disruption is leading to these issues, but how's your mental health as well?
Absolutely. And substance abuse.
That's
a big deal in rural. Well, it's not, I'm not even going to say rural areas. It's just a big problem across the whole country right now.
You know, and there's really kind of two parts to that that, I mean, just seem to not go away. I mean, first and foremost, you know, the opioid crisis has took the oxygen out of the room, it seems like, the last 15 years, and it's been a real thing in this part of the world.
Yes.
But we have been the drunkest state in the nation for far too long.
And we're proud to take it away from Wisconsin.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I love to have a beer. And I love to be a life of a party. But the reality is can you go to a birthday party anymore and not drink?
Yeah.
Do you go to social engagements and can you set it aside?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that we struggle so much with this, but the access and the socialization of this we continue to do, and we wonder why we can't get ahead on this issue. And so substance use, I mean, it's individuals are addicted to substances.
Yeah.
And now they have their drugs of choice, whatever it might be. But we make access so easy.
Yeah.
And we're not doing any better as a society to address that.
And Ty, what would you recommend if somebody, because I've had a friend, I'm going to try not to break down. I had a friend who took her life.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to a couple of us saying, I'm struggling. I don't want, and her thing was alcohol. It wasn't, mm-hmm. it wasn't drugs, but well, alcohol is a form of drug, but, and she came to us and said, I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to. And so, we sat down and talked to her, you know, tried to get her help. What would you recommend if somebody, if a friend or a family member says, I don't feel like living, you know, they've got a substance abuse problem. What would your recommendation be?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I would say, are you willing, from an action standpoint, to be as aggressive as the feelings that you're having? So are you willing, if an individual is truly maybe suicidal,
mm-hmm.
are you willing to take them to an ER and have them committed?
Yep.
Now, that is one of the hardest things you do as an individual.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and as somebody who not only professionally deals with this every day, but also from an individual basis, are you willing to go to that extent? And how are we going to bend a curve on a suicide rate that's 30%? And that, which is an incredible growth, if we're not willing individually, as the social network of these folks, to be that aggressive as well. Because we know that if you had cancer, we would rush you to a hospital, we'd get you on chemo the next day.
Right.
You had a major, let's say you had a major trauma accident, you broke your leg, we're rushing you and we're going to get you in a cast. But what do we do with people who are having severe mental health issues? We wait.
Yeah.
We hope they'll say that they need help. But the reality is it's us. It's a social network that needs to really be a lot more aggressive about it. And I get that's tough. But the reality is that's what it's going to take.
For some folks, I think there's that thought of, I can't leave the farm. I can't get help right now. I have to wait. And waiting may never end. They may never actually come to get help. But at Prairie St. John, you can do inpatient, you can do outpatient. I'm just spitballing here, but I'm betting you can do those things and more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, for us, I mean, we provide a full continuum of care for adults, adolescents, children, both inpatient and outpatient. You know, and what I would say to the individual who doesn't think they can leave the farm, I would bet my right arm that they have 3, 4, 5, 10 neighbors, you know, community members who will step up to help them at any day of the week.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's one of the greatest things about the fabric of this region is that you can be 6 degrees of separation from a neighbor, somebody you maybe talk to 2 times a year, but if a crisis happened, the whole dang community is going to show up and help them. Mm-hmm. So that, which is a completely legitimate excuse, I understand that. But, you know, I think the reality is we have a community here in this region that will step up every time.
I think you're right. I think they will. And it is a community because we want people to be healthy, mind, body, spirit, all of us, right? This is the things that we're going to focus on. And we know what's happening economically. We understand that folks, their stress levels are high. Not everything ends in suicide, but I know the anxiety and depression levels are extremely high. And Ty, you're seeing that, and you're probably able to work with folks who are just looking for those areas of help as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible honor to sit in this space where people turn to us during their hardest times in their life.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality for so many people is it starts small. Mm-hmm. It starts with maybe a concern over drinking. It starts with a feeling that I might be depressed. You know, the major episodic event that happens, you know, is pretty rare as a starting point. And so it gradually builds into a point of needing our type of care.
Right.
And so there's a lot of pathways along that where we can intervene as providers and provide a way lower level of care that's going to get people back on their feet. But I think the reality of that is being able to address it.
Yes.
You know, identify it, which is it can be incredibly hard. But, you know, we have the nice thing about this region is we're finally starting to come to the reality that we know we need to address it. Because it's an economic issue.
Yeah.
It's a quality of life. It's a community issue. And quite often, you know, for the individual that's struggling, their kids are struggling. Their parents are struggling. Their loved ones are struggling. So it is a multi-layered effect. And I think we're finally starting to come to a space where we're at least willing to address it.
So, Ty, for Prairie St. John, as you are here in Fargo, but do you have connections to other large hospitals in the region as well? So if someone is in Minot or Dickinson, and you know, even though they may call you or vice versa, that you guys can help provide that level of care?
So the reality of us is that we are a regional provider.
Okay.
We're a regional center of excellence.
Okay.
So any given day, you'll come into our facility and you will have a patient who's from Miles City, Montana, to Superior, Wisconsin, to Northern Iowa, South Dakota. Last year, we received 12,000 referrals for service, and we served all 50 states, 7 foreign countries, and the majority of our folks are coming from more than 60 miles away.
Okay.
So in order to be able to access those folks and treat them, is we have a full network of providers on the other side who trust us.
Yeah.
And they come from CHI Williston to a small clinic in rural Minnesota to whatever it might be. So we've really worked on building out a large network of providers that we work with every day. And the intensive type of interaction that we have to have with them in order to get these folks in a timely manner to getting the help they need, it has to be built there. The infrastructure has to be present.
This may have to be an off-air question for you and I to talk about, but I'm curious if you have a way to help build some of the community resources in small towns in North Dakota to help themselves, if you will.
Absolutely.
So if you can build those little coffee clutches that people will spend time as a peer group and they'll talk about more than just their balance sheets, et cetera. I mean, maybe that's a
And one of the things that we're really proud to do is we claim to be the region's leader in training on behavioral health.
Oh, good. Okay.
On a monthly basis, we provide great public education series. We'll get between 300 and 400 individuals, licensed professionals, doctors, a mom
clergy,
who's just concerned.
Mm-hmm. First aid responders in small towns.
First aid and clergy that sign up to be educated on this.
Yes.
We go out into the community and do it as well. And
okay.
So we are trying to build that infrastructure. Well, now one part of that infrastructure is it helps us take care of people better.
Yep.
But also it helps them help them, their individuals, far upstream of needing our help.
There's a lot of need out there, probably more than any one of us want to talk about. And I mean that as an individual. We see it in ourselves. We see it in our friends and neighbors. And we see that stress. If there's anything I've always touted to other folks is if you think you see that in someone or yourself, take that time to hop in the buddy seat during the combining season, or if you're working cattle, and just ask the open-ended question of, are you okay?
No. And the reality, and I just find it very, you know, almost kind of ironic, is we will stress to people that they need to engage in their dental health every day. All right, get up, brush your teeth. Now I need you to do it twice a day.
Yeah.
But
did
if it comes to your mental health, what do we encourage for that type of maintenance on a daily basis? Do we say, hey, you got to get your mental health in twice a day? We never do that.
No.
And so that's the level of engagement that it's going to take here in this region,
we say,
particularly for our rural folks.
We say have a beer, feel better.
Yeah,
and a lot of it's proud. You know, they're too proud sometimes.
Extreme pride.
You know?
Proud often mixes with stubbornness, as I've learned the hard way in my life. And so we need to overcome those barriers.
Yeah. All right, Ty, we're going to have to talk more things off air. But for folks who are listening and they're thinking, maybe I want to know more, how and where shall they do that?
The greatest resource in this world is Google. Google Prairie St. John's. We have plenty of platforms to engage with you, whether it's a real-time contact us platform, an 800 number, social media. You can reach out via that platform as well. But we operate 24/7. There's somebody there picking up the phone. Or if you need to walk in because you need help, in essence, we operate the emergency services for behavioral health in this region. They can walk through our front doors on any day of the week.
And insurance, I know a lot of people would say, man, I'd love to do it, but my insurance doesn't cover it. Do most insurance packages cover?
We work with like 60 different types of insurances, but we provide millions of dollars in charity care. We work with state insurances to get people enrolled. The financial barrier is not an issue.
Okay.
Okay. I want to also make sure to say thank you for being a part of this for the month of September. And you're long-term. It's not like you're going to end on September 28th and say, well, that's enough of that. We're not talking about mental health anymore. But just today, I was notified about yet another farmer suicide in the state of Iowa this week. We have far too many folks that are concerned. Often we hear, but it's someone I didn't expect it would happen or would do it. We just want to make sure that folks understand that this is vitally important, and we all need to be talking about it and remove the stigma of it. The better we do, or the more we do that, the better.
And if I could just add one thing, we have a seasonality to what's going on. And the reality right now is that we go from harvest to cold weather season to extreme dark to extreme cold. And a lot of folks go straight into isolation after they have the hardest working time of the year. So let's make sure that we keep those people in mind as we go into this season.
Good point, Ty. Good point. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us here on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere, though. The Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.